Hey, everybody. I'm Kelly McEvers, host of NPR's Embedded. On March 9th, we are back with our new episodes about police videos.
Shots fired, shots fired.
What did he do to deserve to be killed that night and shot so many times?
People see what they want to see. Almost no one can see those videos from a neutral perspective.
I was thinking, see the gun, don't kill him till you see the gun.
Find Embedded on the NPR One app or at npr.org/podcasts.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. This week, we turn our attention to International Women's Day. March 8th is a celebration that goes back over 100 years to recognize the political and social awareness of women's rights around the world. And those are certainly themes that are as relevant today as they were a century ago. Now, we're going to talk about some of that this week, but this is Alt Latino, so we're also going to mix in some music that reflects those themes. And to do that, I brought in some help. Returning to Alt Latino is Jessica Diaz Hurtado, our Alt Latino assistant producer and NPR Croc Fellow. Jessica, welcome back.
I'm happy to be here, Felix. And also to help us this week, we are very excited to have three brilliant music journalists joining us from NPR New York studios. Veronica Valletti Flores, she's a co-host of Radio Menea. It's a Latinx music podcast. Vero, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we also have Marjoa Estevez in the house. She's a senior editor with Vibe magazine. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
And returning to Alt Latino, we also have Isabella Herrera. She's the music editor of Remezcla, an online source for Latin music and culture. Isabella, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again. I'm excited to be here.
We're happy to have all of you with us, so thanks for coming in. Before we get started, we're going to hear some music. Music from my generation, a woman who stood out for her music and her politics, Nina Simone. And this track is called For Women.
And white. He forced my mother late one night. What do they call me? My name. Saffronia. My name is Saffronia. My skin is tan. My hair is fine. You, my mouth like wine. Whose little girl am I? Anyone who has money to buy. What do they call me? My name is Sweet Thing.
That was For Women by Nina Simone. It sort of sets the theme for what we're going to talk about, women's issues In fact, you could call this show Four Women and One Man.
So earlier this year, over 500,000 women and a few men gathered in Washington, D.C., as well as in other cities around the globe, to bring attention to issues that inspired the first International Women's Day in 1911. So let's turn to our panel. Isabella, were you surprised at the number of people who participated here in D.C. and around the world?
Yeah, I was actually pretty surprised by the number of people. I think the organizers were able to scale the protest in such a way that in 6 months, you know, there was millions of people participating. But I guess it just kind of speaks to our history of resistance and protest as women.
And Marjoa, do you think that it helped inspire more women to be activists in their communities?
Did it inspire women to take action? Sure, why not? But I do... I think it should be made clear that women have always been in the trenches. We've always been at the forefront of any political movement. Really look into the Young Lords, the Black Panthers, even the Brown Berets. I think one of the things that has contributed to this element of visibility is the digital age that we are in. We aren't just reading about what's going on in the newspaper or textbooks or pamphlets. The female presence, that can no longer be glossed over as in previous eras. There is no revolution without the woman.
Let me jump in for a second. You just mentioned the Black Panthers, the Brown Berets. Let's go back a little further. Do any of you remember hearing your mothers or your grandmothers talking about being active in any kind of social movements or other women that they knew or respect or admired that were part of social movements? And that would take us back to, you know, the 50s and the 40s.
I think for me, my parents weren't as political as they were religious, but my mother certainly was influenced by La Mariposas, right?
I was about to say the same
thing. Yeah. That was a big theme in my household.
Okay, by way of explanation real quick, the Mariposas, or the butterflies that Marjoa is referring to, were the Mirabal sisters. They were four sisters from the Dominican Republic who opposed the Trujillo dictatorship. Three of them were assassinated and became symbols of resistance. Okay, you were saying?
They were the ones who, I think after them, what was the holiday that was set after them?
The International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women.
Of violence against women.
Yeah.
Okay, so Veronica, this question is for you. Did you notice a connection between why the International Women's Day was initially started and what is going on here in this country today?
Historically, the International Women's Day was, it came out of labor, labor movements. And, you know, International Women's Day was celebrated, especially in Europe in the 40s and the 50s, as an anti-fascist response to all the fascism that had been going on in the 40s in Europe. And I think that that's why, in many ways, women stood up this January, because we see a president coming in with these really autocratic tendencies, and we want to nip that in the bud. We want to say no.
And did you all attend the Women's March?
Yes, absolutely.
I attended in New York.
I was in New York, too.
As did I, yes.
And so was there any posters that y'all saw that were interesting or one of your favorites?
I think mine was a little academic, but my favorite one was... Demilitarization of Pacific Asia is an inherently feminist act. That was my favorite sign.
I was a big fan of a sign in D.C. that I saw a picture of where this woman who I know from reproductive justice activism called Angela Peoples had a sign that said, "Remember that white women voted for Trump." And I think that it's really important to think about that, because a lot of times when we're talking about feminism, we think about a movement that is united. And it's important to recognize that there's a lot of frictions and divisions within the movement, and that white women don't always put everything on the line for women of color in the ways that women of color put everything on the line for our communities.
Man, Vero, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I was afraid that I was going to be the one who has to, like, talk about race. Because I personally can't talk about feminism without folding in the concept of that.
Of course not.
Yeah, and I think going back to what the Women's March accomplished, I think more than anything else, it was for me bringing to light how much work we still have to do as a collective. For me, it was also a poignant reminder of the historic oppression and silencing of Black and brown women by our Anglo counterparts. my sister and I were two Dominican women in the crowd were not made to feel welcomed in the march here in New York. And perhaps that's a different conversation, but to truly answer the formal question, what should inspire women to do, and particularly non-women of color, is to really ask yourselves, am I building or destroying in the context of what we call feminism? And then what am I doing to serve as a rightful conspirator in the plight of my Black and brown sistren? Because we don't really need any more allies.
Well, we're on the subject of race. It's time for a music break. And one of you brought in a really great track by Senia Rubinos, who we've had on the show as guest DJ, and she's done a Tiny Desk concert here at NPR. And we're big fans of hers here on Alt Latino. Who brought in the track, and what's the name of the track, and why'd you bring it?
I brought in the track. This is Vero. And I was really excited. It's called See Them, and I was really excited to bring this track specifically because I think it brings up some of what we've been talking about in terms of women of color's rage. And in the song, she says, you know, do you look at these birds? Do you see them? Look at the sun. Do you see them? Why don't you see women of color? Mm. Here we are. Like, why don't you see our rage? What am I missing here? And I think it's important to bring up, you know, Senia identifies as Afro-Latina, and I think that those nuances are really important, the ways that all of us are perceived and move in the world, and the ways that our anger is seen as either legitimate or not.
This is called See Them by Senia Rubinos.
I see the little bird creeping outside. Do you see the little bird? He's sleeping. I see the little bird feeling up, feeling down, feeling out, feeling all his feelings. Why do you feel this yellow sun? You owe to the brown girl, you know it to put the brown girl when she's fucking it up. Where you gonna put the brown girl now? She's tearing it up. Squeeze an orange on your shoulder, let the juice drip down, let the juice drip down, let the juice drip. Squeeze an orange on your shoulder, let the juice drip down, let the juice drip down, let the juice drip, drip.
Find yourself on the edge of a mountain, of a mountain, of a mountain. mountain. Find your edge on the head of a mountain, of a mountain, of a mountain. Push it over, fall down, push it over, fall down, fall down, fall down, down the mountain. Among the mountains, you are the mountains. Among the mountain, I am the mountain. You owe to the brown girl, you know where to put the brown girl when she's fucking it up. Where you gonna put the brown girl now? She's tearing it up.
Let me ask you a question about music journalism. Like, where do you see your roles in writing about just either female artists or artists of color, and how does that fit into the cultural landscape that's out there, the journalism landscape? Do you think it's making a difference? Are you seeing holes and you're trying to fill them? Or what is your purpose? What is your tactic?
I mean, for me, I think it's tricky because, you know, representation is so important, and it's so important to highlight women artists as much as we can. But I also worry about the way that they're tokenized in music journalism, and I think that we need to do a better job of incorporating them into the canon instead of singling them out as women artists and calling them female artists and categorizing them into these, you know, very limiting roles.
And why is that visibility important?
For aspiring musicians, it's really important to see, especially like young women, to see these images and to see that they can be musicians as well. And I also think it's just, you know, it's important in terms of mentorship and education that these women have a platform that they can use to help other aspiring musicians. So,
and I think that a lot of young musicians are treading this careful line where they're proud to be women. They're proud to be Latina. They're proud to be women of color making music, but they also don't want to be a female musician. And they want to be recognized as musicians, as people who are creative and make music and have contributions in arts, right? So it's a tricky line to tread between being really proud of who you are and wanting to lift that up, but also not being sidelined into just one category when white men don't have to deal with that in any way.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and just to add a tidbit, I mean, let's keep it real. Like, how often in a Latino household, you know, are your creative impulses actually nurtured?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And so I think it is important to have those narratives that women can be musicians, that they can be creatives, that they can be poets, that they can be writers.
I mean, I think it's about expanding the platform for these women and giving them an opportunity to put out different kinds of messages, you know? And there's a certain kind of song that would be able to sell for music, for women in the music industry for a long time. And it has to do a lot with the history of the sexualization of women in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously not to demonize women who want to sexualize themselves in music, because I think that's wonderful and we should celebrate that too.
For sure. Absolutely.
But I just think that we should have diversity of these messages, you know?
And especially if it's their decision to sexualize
mm-hmm.
themselves and not imposed on them by some producer or manager.
That's
right. Svengali.
Exactly.
Right.
And what I find like very strong and admirable in these young women is that they're very unapologetic and when they're coming up in this industry. And one of these artists is Princess Nokia. And I know, Isabella, you brought mm-hmm. in a song by Princess Nokia. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Yes. I love this song so much. I brought this song in. It's called Brujas. It's off of Princess Nokia's most recent EP called 1992. And I brought this in just because I think it speaks so powerfully to the multidimensional mm-hmm. realities of Black and Latinx women.
We are them ghetto bitches, speaking in tongue bitches, fall on the floor, that's age on the door. We are them ghetto bitches, speaking in tongue bitches, fall on the floor, that's age on the door. We are them ghetto bitches, speaking in tongue bitches, fall on the floor, that's age on the door. We are them ghetto bitches, speaking in tongue bitches, fall on the floor, that's age on the door.
Talk shit, we the cast spell. Long weeks, long nails, corn rope, pigtails. Baby Fox still in jail. Good witches I fuck with. Bad bitches, we run shit. Four bitches, four corners. North, east, west, south shit. Good witches I fuck with. Hot door for my broomstick. Witchcraft, bitchcraft. Like magic is nothing.
I reach in my altar. I reach in my altar. I reach in my altar.
I'm that Black Rican Bruja straight out from the Yoruba. And my people come from Africa, diaspora, Cuba. And you mix that Arabic, that original people. I'm that Black Native American, I vanquish your evil. I'm that Black Rican Bruja straight out from the Yoruba. And my ancestors Nigerian, my grandmas was Brujas. And I come from an island, and it's for Puerto Rico. And it's one of the smallest, but it got the most people.
I'll reach in my altar. I'll reach in my altar. I'll reach in my altar. Got coins on the counter. I'll reach in my altar. I'll reach in my altar. I'll reach in my altar. Got coins on the counter.
Don't you fuck with my energy. 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 Don't you fuck with my energy.
Casting spells with my cousin. I'm the head of this coven. I'm a shape-shifting bitch. You don't know who you loving. Better light you a candle. I heard the nighttime was black. And if you don't watch your step, the greatest bitch will be back. I cast a circle in white, and I can vanquish your spike. And if you hex me with hate, then I'ma conjure the light. Your evil ways put no fight. I ain't no queen of the night. I'm a bruja, and I'ma dress in all white.
Brujas from Princess Nokia. And I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about that whole concept of brujas. How would you describe brujas? How would you define it?
I think it's like a reclaiming of this term that has been used against women in a really negative way. Mm-hmm. And I think it's celebrating perhaps like the spirituality and the magic of women mm-hmm. in a way that, you know, has historically been demonized. Yeah.
And also, I think that kind of indigenous and Afro-diasporic spirituality has been demonized as well, mm-hmm. right? With part of the colonization of the American continent was the Catholic Church in Latin mm-hmm. America, right? And with that came a lot of demonization of indigenous and Afro-diasporic religions that that were already on the land or that came with slaves. And reclaiming that is really powerful because a lot of times, brujería, if it's in our family or if our families seek out brujas, it was always hush. At least mm-hmm. in my family, it was always hush. It was a little bit shameful. We didn't talk about it very much. Mm-hmm. So a lot of young women right now are talking about that unapologetically. And it's about reclaiming a legacy outside of colonization.
That's something that always struck me as interesting. As I didn't come from a very traditional Mexican-American background. We were very city-oriented, you know. So it wasn't until much later that I discovered the whole idea of curanderismo and how curanderas and what they as healers. Mm-hmm. And it always struck me as interesting that, as you just mentioned, you'll talk about the so-called brujas, but when something goes wrong, who do you go to?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, we got to go back to go see her now.
Or you always have el ojo in the house to try to get the bad spirits away. Or mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of that, for me personally, my abuela had a lot of that energy of like healing with plants and using non-Western medicine, even though she, wasn't like officially like, I'm into curanderismo. But I felt like it comes from this ancestral knowledge that's kind of passed down.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm.
There's a really fabulous book called Bless Me Ultima It's by a Chicano writer named Rodolfo Anaya. And it's something that I read when I was in college, way back a long time ago. But it was required reading in some of the pre-Columbian classes that I took. And it really paints the picture of the position of power that the curandera had in that particular community in New Mexico. Mm. But not just for her healing skills and properties, right, or her talent, but also because she was like the wise one of the community, mm-hmm. and she was the elder.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the reclaiming, right? That bruja or witch, even in the U.S. context, has always been an insult that's been lobbed at powerful women that others were scared of.
Let's run with the idea of a woman who is a symbol of power and as a form of feminism, because feminism means something different to every single community. So Marjua, can you tell me what feminism is in 30 seconds or less? Go.
Honestly, for me, it's really not that difficult. The advocacy of women's basic humanity, first and foremost, and the advocacy of our rights and liberation. That is what feminism is to me.
We were also talking about this divergence in perspectives at the Women's March. Do any of y'all think that any communities were missing from the march or the conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I personally felt like we need to do a better job of uplifting and celebrating trans women, and especially at the Women's March. I think a lot of the signs were centered around cisgender women's reproductive organs. I don't know if I can say pussy or not on the show. Can I say it or no?
Hold on.
You know, a year ago, I would have said no. But, you
now?
Know, our president, it was all over.
Oh, true.
On CNN.
Look at
true.
You know, and what kind of hats were they wearing at the march?
Pussy hats, right?
Go ahead. So go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think we need to do a better job of changing the rhetoric and the messaging of a lot of the signs and the way the movement has very specifically focused on cisgender women. And I think it's hard because obviously there are some activists in the reproductive rights movement and it's focused around cisgender women's body parts and, you know, rights around that. But I do think that there's room to include trans women in a way that's like, that's not just exclusive and specific about one group of people who are women.
There is no graceful transition between trans women and what we're going to talk about next. So I'm just going to bring it up. Marjorie, we started the show with singer Nina Simone from mm-hmm. my generation. Our next musical break will be from Beyonce. Okay. And some see some of those same messages in Beyonce's last album, Lemonade. Is that a fair comparison? I mean, what is Beyonce really trying to say?
You know, in my mind, I never made that comparison between Nina Simone and Beyonce. But if we had to break it down, for sure, there are some common threads. Nina Simone's Four Women centers on the varied archetypes of Black American women and weaves themes of slavery, oppression, race, and colorism, which Lemonade, in many respects, reflects through the power of healing and sisterhood. Specifically, Don't Hurt Yourself is arguably the peak point of Beyoncé's fury regarding infidelity. And what I love most about this song, besides the musicality of it all, is her gusto. I mean, Beyoncé is really enjoying chin-checking the hell out of her husband for cheating. Mm-hmm. And for me, the song is a novel example of what it looks like to remind yourself of all your worth, of all your bearings. She makes herself the crux of her partner's universe. And how often do we get to see women emerge as valiant in circumstances of infidelity? I think those kinds of records, ones where women are reclaiming themselves, like we were talking about, are important. Oh, na, na, na. Oh, na, na.
You ain't married to no average bitch, boy. You can watch my fuck.
That was Don't Hurt Yourself by Beyoncé. And I've noticed within the last couple of years, there's been this constant conversation on Beyoncé's feminism and her representation, especially in this digital age. And so I was wondering what you all think. What does Beyoncé mean to women, specifically women of color?
For me personally, I think Beyoncé represents the kind of intersectionality that I grew up embodying. There's this really perverse idea of what feminism, you know, is, at least a historic perversity to it. And I think that Beyoncé just kind of represents, she wouldn't allow herself to be compartmentalized, right? She's allowed to be sexual. She's allowed to be political. She's mm-hmm. allowed to be a mother. She's allowed to be a businesswoman. And for me, that's really important, especially as a woman of color.
And I think this really brilliant thing that Beyoncé does is that she puts, her art is ambitious. Mm-hmm. It's so incredibly ambitious. Just this album, the visual aspect of it, musically, it's incredibly ambitious. But then she leaves it at that, right? You don't see Beyoncé extrapolating too much on what her art means. She lets it mean whatever you need it to mean.
My problem with the critique of Beyoncé's feminism is that people forget that Beyoncé is a pop star. You know, she's an artist who works within a capitalist industry. Mm-hmm. And to be critiquing her is to not allow her to explore all her multitudes that she has. And I think it's like, you can only expect so much from someone who is a pop star. And like, can we just celebrate the art for what it is and, right. and all the emotions that it gives us and it, the way it makes us feel?
So Beyoncé, as you said, is a pop star, very visible, one of the most recognized pop stars in the world. But you also brought in some music from some independent artists who probably could use a little bit more recognition for the strength of their music and their message. Woman is a Word by Empress Of. Who brought that in and why?
Hi, this is Vero. I brought it in. Woman is a Word specifically is about the ways that the category of one's gender can be limiting. Even as a person who identifies as a woman and is proud to be that, to be limited by what society thinks woman is something that I think all of us feel, regardless of where on the gender spectrum we fall and how comfortable we are with that designation that was given to us at birth. And this is a song about that, about, you know, woman is a word, you made it up, I'm living my life, sometimes I'm in what that box says I should be, and sometimes I'm not.
I'm only an image of what you see. I'm only an image of what you see. I'm only an image of what you see. You don't know me, you don't know me, you don't know me. I'm only an image of what you see. I'm only an image of what you see.
Woman is a word by Empress Of. Veronica, before we move on to the next subject, tell us a little bit more about Empress Of. Where's she from and how long has she been making music?
Empress Of is, I think, from California, but her background is Honduran. And she's been making music for, I don't know, maybe the last 8 years
like
or so?
Like 2013, I think, is when she put out her first
EP.
Yeah,
her first EP. I remember hearing Agua.
But I know she was a musician before.
Yeah. But she is, this is a single. It came out after her last album. So it's not on her last album, but she is just an incredible musician who does a lot of electronic and experimental music and is her, you know, she produces it, she records it, she does all of the audio engineering. There was an article around Bjork a while ago where she talked about how when her last album came out, when Vulnicura came out, Arca kept being lifted up as a sole producer. And Arca's amazing. I'm a huge fan. But Arca's been making music. He's very young. He's been making music maybe like for the last few years. And Bjork's been making music for maybe 30. And she's constantly being put in a place of not being lifted up as a producer. And that's something that women always have to deal with. So I think it's always really important to lift up when women produce their own stuff. And Empress Of is one of those women.
Thank you so much for bringing this in, Vero. I love this song. And we can talk about these kind of topics for hours, but just to wrap things up, Isabella, you brought in a classic that brought back some memories for me. It's Yo Quiero Bailar by Evie Queen. And it just brings me back to...
So good.
It is. It brings me back to when I would go home every summer to El Salvador, and that's when I would always get put on to new reggaeton music, especially watching HTV. And Evie Queen, this is a case of a woman's perspective in a genre that's dominated by males. Isabella, what do you think about her song, Yo Quiero Bailar?
I mean, this song is iconic. I feel like Evie Queen deserves a Lifetime Achievement Award. I'm just going to put it out there.
Yes, somebody give it to her.
Needs to happen. But no, I brought in this song, I think, because there's been, calling back to what Vero was saying, there's been a historic erasure of women in reggaeton, unfortunately, you know. Actually, last year, I wrote this piece about a singer called Jenny La Sexy Voz, who was pretty much behind the hook of 80 reggaeton songs. And her voice was pretty much erased from, well, her voice was there, but she was never credited for those songs. And, you know, I think especially in reggaeton, which is a genre that we know women have kind of been used as these sexually subservient side chicks, you know, like these women who are here to satisfy the desire of the men singing. I think it's important to uplift Evie Queen, who is such a talented singer. And I think what she does is so important because she centers women's desire and she centers herself. This song in particular is kind of like a really brilliant breakdown of like the dance floor politics.
It's an anthem.
Yeah, yes. And it's about like, just because I'm here to dance, it's like, I don't need to be having sex with you. Like, this is for me, you know? Like, I'm dancing because I want.
It's not an invitation to my house.
Yeah. So yeah, I love this song for that.
It's the catchiest song about consent ever.
Say that.
Yo quiero bailar, tú quieres sudar y pegarte a mí, el cuerpo rosar. Yo te digo si tú me puedes provocar, eso no quiere decir que pa' la cama voy. Quiero bailar, tú quieres sudar y pegarte a mí, el cuerpo rosar. Yo te digo si tú me puedes provocar, eso no quiere decir que pa' la cama voy.
Isabella Herrera is the music editor of Remezcla, an online source of Latin music and culture. Marjua Esteves is the senior editor with Vibe magazine, and Veronica Bayetti Flores, she's the co-host of Radio Menea, a Latinx music podcast. Ladies, thank you for allowing me to share this space with you guys today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I want to remind you can hear all the music we played on our show today on our website at npr.org/altlatino, and don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino. Jessica Diaz-Hurtado, thank you for joining us again.
Of course, thank you.
My name is Felix Contreras. This has been Alt Latino, and this is Evie Queen.
Now I want to go dance.
I know.
Midday perreo.
Right.
You know?
Puedes provocar, eso no quiere.
tenemos que sudar, sudar. Que bailemos al ritmo del tra, tra. Que me haga fuerte suspirar, suspirar. Pero pa' la cama doy comida, na, na, na. Yo quiero bailar, tú quieres sudar. Y pegarte a mí, el cuerpo rosar. Yo te digo si sí, tú me puedes provocar. Eso no quiere decir que pa' la cama voy. Quiero bailar, tú quieres sudar. Y pegarte a mí, el cuerpo rosar. Yo te digo si sí,